Down the Dump Podcast.
I'd like to welcome back Royce Young to the Down to Dump Podcast. How you doing, Royce?
I'm doing extremely well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. We're just going to start off with some questions, and we're gonna play a game. First question is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how shocked were you when they announced Russ was coming back to play against Phoenix?
I would say I was probably – I'm not going to sit here and try to act like I'm some kind of genius that knew he was coming back early. But I will say probably like a 7. I wasn't entirely shocked, mainly because I think it was becoming pretty obvious that he was going to return before the 4 weeks, the 4 to 6 week timetable that he had set by the team. So, you know, it was one of those things that by all accounts he was progressing. He looked like himself, and it really just came down to the fact – whenever the medical staff, who's notoriously conservative with the Thunder, once they cleared him, he was going to be back. So, you know, I think that there was some misconceptions there with him having that second procedure, the arthroscopic procedure, that there was some kind of greater issue with his knee. But really what came out of that was that his meniscus was entirely healed, which was great news and a great sign for the Thunder. So really it was just about – you know, getting that swelling to go down, getting that loose stitch out of there. And after that, he was going to be back to normal. So I was surprised that he came back. Obviously, everybody was surprised, but not entirely shocked that he came back early.
Yeah, and this team obviously needed him way worse than I could have projected that they would have. The offense, I mean, it just looked awful without him. So it was nice to see him come back after such a beating that they took from the Timberwolves.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, it was kind of disappointing, I think, and they beat the Jazz, but that game was pretty terrible.
Yeah.
They looked bad while winning. But, you know, we all saw the struggles that they had against the Grizzlies and the Rockets. And really, it's kind of funny that I think that we've kind of lost a little bit of sight that while the Thunder lost in 5 games to the Grizzlies, those games were really close. And they could have won a couple of them, and that was without Russell Westbrook. And now we've seen the impact that Russ has on the team, how he makes guys like Serge Ibaka better, how he makes Kevin Durant better. And so it's not hard to rewind and wonder what would have happened if he had been able to stay healthy in the postseason.
Mm-hmm. This is a question that's kind of on every Thunder fan's mind. Will Steven Adams take Perkins' starting spot at any point this year?
No, he won't. As long as Kendrick Perkins is on the roster, yeah, he's going to be the starter. And I think people are getting a little overzealous right now with their love of Steven Adams. And I mean, I'm extremely excited about him, and I think he's got a very bright future. But, you know, we're talking about a guy 6 games into his NBA career here, and you're talking about him starting over a guy that's been in the starting lineup going on 4 seasons now. So to shake that up, you know, it kind of reminds me of the same discussion we had around James Harden and should he start over Thabo Sefolosha. Yep. And how that eventually that kind of died down because it became obvious that it really didn't matter who started the game. It mattered more about who finished the games and who was playing more. And I think Steven Adams is going to play more than Perk. And I think Steven Adams is going to be in more closing lineups. But just for continuity's sake, for chemistry's sake, I think it's better for Kendrick Perkins to have his name called in that starting lineup than it is for Steven Adams, because Scott Brooks loves consistency and he loves stability, and they've been working with this same starting group for quite a while now. So I don't think that they're going to shake it up anytime soon.
Yeah, I agree. And I just think it's crazy that we're even having this conversation with, you know, after the draft, I was distraught. We got a project big man. And now we're having this conversation. I feel like it's legitimate as far as skill set goes that he could – and he could be starting or playing more minutes. I think it's incredible. I think I kind of lost my trust in Sam Presti after the Harden trade, but you know, the way Steven Adams has played, I have to trust Presti.
Well, it's the kind of thing that, and I, this is the perspective that I try to take with everything and every trade, every draft pick, is that we all love to draw conclusions. That's kind of the culture, sports culture that we live in right now, is that you got to have an analysis on something right away. Was it good? Was it bad? Will it work? Will it won't? And I think a lot of times you have to wait and see. And that's what I've been saying all along, is that with this whole Jeremy Lamb, Steven Adams thing, that I don't think either one of those players is ever going to be James Harden. I think we can all say that pretty definitively, that they won't be the same kind of player. But in terms of productive players that contribute to the Thunder winning games, which is all that matters, I think we all needed to take a break and see that when you looked at it on paper this summer, wow, the Thunder traded James Harden for Steven Adams and Jeremy Lamb. It looked bad. Yeah. But I think already, just six games into the season, that trade looks significantly better because we're seeing that not only is Steven Adams a very good big man with a very bright future, but Jeremy Lamb's playing really well, and he's contributing. He's knocking down shots. So by the end of the season, you know, the perspective that everybody had about the James Harden trade may shift even more. So I still think that, you know, we're talking about young players that are getting better and that you can't draw a fine line on their career quite yet. So I think it's still a wait and see type of thing to see what the Thunder really got for him.
Yeah. Next question. Is Reggie's back not as bad as it sounds, or is he just super tough?
Yeah, I think I don't think it's that bad. I think it's one of those things where it's kind of your typical wear and tear already through the NBA season. It's a little distressing that he's already dealing with something just 2 weeks into the season. But, you know, you take a rough fall, you get hit in practice, and, you know, you tweak your back a little bit. But, you know, it's one of those type of things that the season is long and everybody plays it pretty pretty conservatively. So if you feel like you can't play, then you won't play. And that's so as long as he can get out on the court and he's able to play, that means that he's good enough and that there's not gonna anything significant to worry about. So I don't think Reggie Jackson's back is at all a big deal. Now, the left hip contusions, which seems to be epidemic right now with the Thunder, now that's something to worry about.
Is that legitimate?
I don't know. It's going around like the virus in the Walking Dead here. It's like every, you know, can't keep away from a left hip contusion.
I thought that was so weird when I read when you tweeted that out about Nick Collison.
I thought Scott Brooks was kidding at first. I really did. Like, or maybe that's just like their default, like we're resting him. Yeah. Type. We're just going to go with left hip contusion. Like that's all we're going with.
He's not as ballsy as
Popovich with
as Popovich.
The,
yeah.
I play old.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Okay, next question. Do you sense any frustration coming from Perkins or Tabo Cephalosha?
I think it's going to be something to keep an eye on for sure. And I kind of wrote this the other night that, you know, Kendrick Perkins, a lot of his reputation is based around being the veteran leader, the guy in the locker room that you want, the big voice that everybody can rely on, the guy that everybody looks to and listens to in the locker room. And if all of that is true, and he's truly the kind of locker room leader that he's been billed to be and that he claims to be, then this shouldn't be a problem at all. This should be a good thing. It should be the type of thing where the Thunder have developed a big man to play meaningful minutes that can now turn Perk into kind of a specialist where he plays, you know, in certain situations. They can use him where they need him. And really, I think a Kendrick Perkins that only has to play 10, 15, 20 minutes a game, you may get a better guy on the court because he's not, you know, wearing down. Because, you know, I don't think he's at all the type in the type of condition or shape physically that he used to be. So if all of this is true, where he's really the kind of locker room leader that he claims to be, I think this is a good thing. And from what I can tell, you know, everybody's got an ego. Everybody feels like they deserve their time. But it's all about trying to put that aside for the greater good of what happens on the court. And I think that Kendrick Perkins is that kind of guy. I everything I've heard him say, everything that I see him do, he's talking about Steven Adams. He's coaching him on the bench. I don't think that this is, you know, the NBA is a lot different than our perspective of, you know, when we were in high school and you kind of rooted for the guy that was getting the playing time in front of you to do bad. It's not really that kind of culture as much because it's all about winning and it's all about the job that you have. So I don't think it's going to be something that lingers too much, and that's one of the reasons I think that Scott Brooks is not going to start Steven Adams, because if you did, then I think you do kind of create that problem. But I think that that's the reason that it'll all stay the same as it is.
What are your thoughts on Jeremy Lamb's play so far? I think he has like a 19 PER right now.
Yeah. I just looked it up. His per 36 stats, he's averaging almost 20 points a game per 36. So, you know, he's not, you know, Scott Brooks said something after the Wizards game that was kind of distressing to me, that he's going to try to keep Lamb's minutes around 15 or 16 a game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can understand how Brooks is approaching this. You know, Reggie Jackson is his bench guy. Nick Collison and Reggie Jackson are like his bench guys that he's really going to be looking towards. And then Steven Adams working in there too. But I almost, the way he's approaching that is if Scott Brooks were to shorten his rotation for the postseason, I'm almost worried that as of right now, he would leave Jeremy Lamb off of that. And, you know, when you got a young player like him, and not only is Lamb playing well, but I think he's earning more minutes. So I would hope that Brooks has an open mind to say that, hey, Jeremy Lamb's earning more time, or, and I have no problem putting him out there 20 or 25 minutes because he's performing. He's knocking down shots. And when you look at this roster, with Tabo Cephalusha not being able to call at all, Kevin Durant's the only three-point shooter on the team right now, unless you count Jeremy Lamb. So they need a guy like Lamb out there that can at least make something from the perimeter. So I've been really impressed by him, and I think that he's getting better. I thought his on-ball defense has been a kind of a pleasant surprise. So I think that Jeremy Lamb's off to a great start, and I think he's only going to get better as the season goes along.
Yeah, I agree. And that shot that he hit, I know you mentioned it, in your writing last night, that shot that he hit at the end of the game. I don't think the Thunder win that game without that shot. And it was, that was a pretty ballsy shot.
That's the thing that I liked about it, is that there was just no hesitation. That it was an instinctual play where he caught the ball, he saw he was open, didn't matter how much time was on the clock, didn't matter the situation, and he just fired it away. And I think that that's an excellent sign for the Thunder that Lamb's willing to do it. And then, he missed the shot to ice the game in overtime. But again, it was just instinctual. He caught it. He shot it. He didn't think about it. And he just kind of trusted his own skills. So I think that that's a great thing.
Yeah. And he barely missed that shot in overtime, too.
It almost went in.
Biggest surprise for this Thunder team so far?
Biggest surprise? I don't really know anything that's surprising me. I mean, obviously, Steven Adams, I think, is shocking people. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody – I think we all saw it in Summer League that this guy was maybe better than what the book was on him at the draft. And then I think in preseason we all saw, hey, this guy can play a little bit. But, 17-10 in his fifth NBA game, I mean, that's good stuff. Yeah. And, it's to the point now of where if he's this good now, and you can just see it. It's one of those things where you see the way he moves and the way he plays and the feel that he has. Mm-hmm. He's so much better than anybody thought he was going to be. I think everybody had hopes that this is where he could get 2 or 3 years down the line. And then there was, of course, the fear with the way that the Thunder had kind of used their young big man in the past with Cole Aldrich and Byron Mullins. They didn't ever want to put him out on the court. They were always bouncing between the D League and Oklahoma City, that nobody really thought Steven Adams would even play. And now here he is, not only playing, not only securing his spot in the NBA for the entire season, but now we're all asking questions if he can start. So He's definitely the most surprising thing so far this year for me.
And he killed Andre Drummond in that game, which was shocking.
Summer League, too. They matched up in Summer League, too, and Drummond couldn't do anything against Adams. And, I think it's one of those things where Steven Adams – He plays very physically without trying to play physically. I think Kendrick Perkins tries to play physically. I think that's kind of his thing. He's trying to get out there, and he's trying to muscle around and bump people. I think Adams just does it naturally. He's a big guy that plays big, and I think he really knows how to use his size really well.
Yeah. Were you shocked about, or have you been shocked about Perry Jones being in the rotation?
That's definitely a surprise. I was the people that – I wouldn't say I was ready to write him off or anything, but I definitely had my suspicions whether or not Perry Jones was not an NBA player, but whether he was a guy that was going to ever be able to find a foothold on this Thunder team just because of his position and how he played and where does he really fit playing behind Kevin Durant. Is he Kevin Durant's backup? Can he play power forward, which is really the position he would need to play to see time on the floor? And I just was skeptical about – that ever really coming together for him. And if you just look at the box scores, he's probably not impressing you, but I think he's played really well on the role that he's been handed. Last night against the Wizards, hits that big corner three, had 5 rebounds in like 12 minutes. So, I think he's added a little dimension of versatility to Scott Brooks's lineups. And really, kudos to Brooks for kind of expanding and flexing a little bit and not just digging into a 9-man rotation and not thinking outside the box here.
Yeah, for sure. Here's a question from one of our followers at Jamie Don Wheat. All things considered, who is the coolest Thunder player?
Oh, it's Russ. Russ is a total G. I mean, that guy is like, everything he does, I think, is super fly. So, I would definitely say Russ is the coolest guy.
Awesome. Another question from a follower at D Tally. What's wrong with Tabo Cephalosha?
He's 3-19 from three so far in the season, and I don't know. To me, I think I saw it in preseason a little bit that it seemed like he was trying to be a little too aggressive with his offense. He was trying to do a little too much instead of just settling into his role. I think he was a little bit and I think he was doing that because Russell Westbrook was out, so he was feeling the responsibility of trying to make a few more things happen. It looks like he's worked on maybe a little quicker release in the offseason, and I think that maybe has gotten to him a little bit. I don't think he looks completely comfortable when he's shooting the ball. It looks like his jumper is incredibly more flat. Looks like he's not getting near the kind of arc that he had last season. So I think it's just probably an early shooting slump for him. You know, he's a guy that shot 40% from three for the last two seasons. So, you know, I think over the long haul, I think it'll end up balancing out. But, you know, he got roasted by Bradley Beal, which was definitely no good. But then you look at the box score. He had 8 points and 8 rebounds and played some pretty critical minutes in overtime. So I think Tabo's just got to get back to kind of just filling his role and not really concerning himself too much with trying to do too much.
Yeah. Do you think he's trying real super hard because it's a contract year for him?
Yeah. That's the thing. That's the thing that kind of lingers over a guy is that, you know, if Tabo could have a great year and combine that with, you know, with his perimeter defense, which is what he's known for, then yeah, you know, maybe he can push himself to get in the mid-level type of deal. But I don't really know how that type of stuff goes on in players' minds if they're constantly, you know, seeing dollar signs after each game that they play, and if, you know, they're looking at box scores and wondering how much money that made them. I don't know if they do that or if it's just it's something in the back. Maybe it is, but hopefully it's something that he can recognize right now if it is a problem and put away because he's not playing that well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're going to play a game. It's called Who Said It. I'm going to give you a quote from an NBA player. I'll give you multiple choices, and you tell me who said it.
Good.
Okay, a player was asked why he shoots so many threes, and his answer was, because there ain't no fours.
Antoine Walker.
Oh, you already know this.
Yeah, I don't even need the options. It's
one of my favorite quotes ever. You may not need the options on any of this.
That's one of my favorite quotes ever. It's so awesome. The options.
I thought LeBron James was just another guy brought in to help me score. You know this one?
Ricky Davis.
Oh, yeah. Bingo. Yeah. We're going to turn this team around 360 degrees.
Okay, you'll have to give me the options there. I'll have to guess this one.
Jason Kidd, Jason Terry, Ron Artest, or Shaquille O'Neal?
I'd say Jason Terry.
This is the Brooklyn Nets coach, Jason Kidd.
Oh, did he say that this year?
No, this is back when he was playing.
Okay, whew. I was going to say that's a rough one to say right now.
I know. They've been brutal. All right, this is the last one. This player was asked who he's most looking forward to playing against in the NBA, and his answer was Powell. I've never played against him, only on the same team. I want to put points on your face. Was this Jose Calderon? Ricky Rubio.
I think it's Rubio, isn't it? I think it's Ricky Rubio.
Jorge Garbajosa or Rudy Fernandez?
I think it's got to be Rubio, right?
It's Fernandez.
Ah, dang.
I want to put points on your face.
That sounds like something that Rubio would have said.
I know.
Because he said what did he say last year? The put a smile on your face, be happy.
Yeah. Rubio's
just,
super
Ricky awesome. Rubio's just an adorable little teddy bear. I mean, that's really what he is.
He is. I love Ricky Rubio. All right, well, that's all that we have for today. I want to thank you for coming on the podcast. We're reading Daily Thunder, and I know that everybody who listens to this podcast are reading Daily Thunder every day. And thanks for coming on, Royce.
Yeah, you bet. We got the real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam. All right. All right.